numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Couple bits of NFL news. One, Jeff, they're getting rid of the Pro Bowl, maybe? Probably?
Maybe. The NFL, the news that it's come out today because they started their, I don't know what set of meetings are today. They're in Atlanta. That's all I know. The Combine is staying in Indianapolis, which is good for Indy.
Yeah.
Because there was...
They deserve the Combine.
There was some concern that the NFL is going to move that.
Yeah.
Staying in Indy for the next 2 years. And then Ian Rappaport, the NFL discussing the week at a Pro Bowl and ways to improve it, including eliminating the traditional game and using that Sunday to showcase the players in it. I'll just throw my hands up. Yeah. I mean, we saw how bad we've seen for 20 years, how awful and unwatchable that game is.
Yeah, and the other bit, the Washington Commanders, who I will refer to as the Virginia Commanders, paid more than $100 million for land in Woodbridge, Virginia, approximately 200 acres, a little more than $100 million for it. Woodbridge, Virginia is 23 miles away from D.C. And so let me just tell you this, as a kid who cared about nothing more than his Washington football team and had the love of his life, like so many of us Washingtonians, had the love of his life kidnapped by an awful human being for the rest of our lives and are praying that he gets ousted by the NFL. If they're moving to Woodbridge, Virginia, this is for those of us from that region of the country. If you're from D.C. and Maryland, the joke always goes that if you put us across the Potomac River, just in northern Virginia, we're already lost. That's like on the other side of the Potomac. If you're going 23 miles away from D.C., you are no longer my football team. You are no longer my football team. I have no regional connection to you now. I mean, it's like so many things have been taken away, but now if there's no regional connection, because we don't go... So no offense to the people of Woodbridge, Virginia, or you know, south of Northern Virginia, if you will, what we call Northern Virginia. It's no offense, but you're not my team anymore. There's no regional affiliation anymore at that point. So there, just wanted to send that out there for all my fellow Washington football team fans. Mark Borchardt joins us, ladies and gentlemen. For those who are unfamiliar with the Numbers Game history or the Beating the Book podcast history or the Betting Dork podcast history for so many years, this gentleman and I, base winner, Mark Borchardt, very familiar to this audience, we have done a Q1, Q2, and Q3 baseball betting derivative show. And Mark joins us now from an undisclosed location in the desert. Mark, great to see you, man. Such a great tradition.
Yeah, I was thinking, when did we start that? With the 55 Brooklyn Dodgers?
No. I think it was. They had a really good run line, I think, that year, yes.
I wanted to ask you a question before we get into the derivative. So if you drop the Redskins, because I've grown over the last 20 years listening to you love the Redskins. Who would you like?
I wouldn't. Listen, it's the only thing from my childhood. I'm a bettor, right? I don't care about teams and who I like and who I don't like. But that was such an ingrained part of my childhood, right? As it was so you know, important to not only me, but those of us who grew up during the Joe Gibbs years. It was everything to us. And to have a great owner replaced by a horrible human being who has shown time and time again that he cares about nothing else but himself. And finally, hopefully, praying that our life sentence somehow gets lifted from him by the league. But now to move it regionally, it's like, I'm not even making it, no offense to the good people of Woodbridge, Virginia. It's just not my team anymore. So that last bastion of fanhood can get removed from our lives. Seriously, I mean that. I totally mean that. I think a lot of people from D.C. would say the same thing. Anywho, let's talk baseball derivatives. Now, I got a little bit of a head start on you before because I wanted to make sure we had the time to do all the umpires and the five innings and the first innings with you. But I just want to review real quickly and see what surprises you from the money lines and the run lines. That's the only thing I did beforehand, just the general full game money lines and run lines. And then sort of the revelation, it was no surprise that San Diego was the best money line team, again, for bizarro bettors who bet them as a road, you know, every single game, whether favorite or underdog. The Mets were second. Arizona, interestingly, third, right, because they've been plus money so many times. Yankees, Minnesota, there was no real surprise. There was no real surprise at the bottom either. But it was a little surprising that Baltimore at home was the best single team for bettors. In terms of home teams, Baltimore has the best home betting record for any team. Is that just some anomalous stuff, or is there any predictive nature to that, in your opinion?
Well, there might be actually something to it, Gil, and I think it has to do with the new front office there. They came over from the Astros, and then they've changed the park alignment there. They've moved that fence back and put up a wall. I don't think Aaron Judge was too happy with the dimension changes there at Camden Yards. And I think that that was very deliberate, Gil. I think it had to do with they feel like they can't compete with the power teams in that division, and the power teams being the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and to a certain extent, the Red Sox as well. And I think that was a deliberate decision. They said, hey, we're not going to compete with these guys. We're not going to be able to get the contracts that we need to give out to compete from a power standpoint. So let's just change the ballpark and let's try to go with these pitchers. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to pitch these guys. They want three or four innings out of guys who have really good stuff. And I think they're trying to work with their location there. So without getting too more into depth, I think that is a deliberate thing that's going on in Baltimore. And it seems to be working, at least when you're looking at it from a betting standpoint, Gil.
The only other surprising thing was the Blue Jays were the third worst run line teams for bettors, or a run line team, third worst. Just really bad runners in scoring position performance this year. Is that something that you think will continue, or is that just an aberration?
Well, I think their plate discipline has not been the best. Having a bet last night on them, they looked pretty good in a couple appearances, so maybe that's going to change. Not impressed with their plate discipline stats there, but their hard hit ball metrics are pretty good. Hard hit per nine is, I think, second in baseball. Barrel percentage is close to the top 10. So I think that they'll get better. I think that those hard hit metrics are good for them. I think that they need to change their approach at the plate, Gil.
Okay. Pitchers, let's just run through these real quick. So again, these are widely available at like a site like covers.com. Who have been the most profitable starting pitchers? Again, for bizarro bettors, if you bet these guys every single time they took the hill. Joe Musgrove, San Diego Padres. The Padres ended up 8-0 in all games that Musgrove has started this year. So he is the big winner for bettors thus far. 6.4 units to the positive. Michael Wacha of Boston. Red Sox have been 5-1 in his starts. So he's plus 4.45 to the positive. Zach Gallen of the Diamondbacks. D-backs 5-2 in his starts. 4.4 units to the positive for blind bettors. Bruce Zimmerman of the Orioles. Orioles 5-3. 5-3. In his starts, you're up 4.21 units if you're betting Zimmerman. And this is interesting, and let's file this name away. John Gray, who'll come up a little later in this conversation, as will Zimmerman, and you'll see this very interesting portent of things to come. John Gray of it's not John Gray. Pardon me. It's a different Gray. Okay, it's Josiah Gray. That's why it didn't make sense. Okay, Josiah Gray of the Nationals. Glad I saw that. He's up 4.14 units. Any notable thing there?
Do you have Paul Blackburn in there at some level?
Not that I am seeing.
So that's the kind of the running joke on the show that I do every morning is my disdain for Paul Blackburn. He continues he continues to win despite I said yesterday I think he's going to have a game where every ball that he's going to get three strikeouts in five innings. Every ball he allows is going to be hard hit, and he's going to go to three balls on every batter, and he's still going to get the win. So sabermetric nightmare Paul Blackburn. I look for him to regress. That's kind of my take on crappy pitchers with good units one, Gil.
Yeah, I'm looking for Blackburn. I don't see him here. I don't see him. Anyway, the worst, the most hemorrhaging pitchers, starting pitchers for bettors thus far this year, this won't surprise anybody. Patrick Corbin. The Nationals are 0-9 in Patrick Corbin starts. He'd be down 9 units, dogs in all of them. Aaron Nola for the Phillies. The Phillies are 1-8 in Nola starts. He'd be down 7.5 units. Chris Flexen, remember last year he was like the big guy to bet on when he took the hill? Well, that's kind of regressed. Not kind of. Seriously. Mariners 1-7 in his starts. He'd be down 6.2 units. And those are the worst three. So no surprise there, I would imagine.
I think the Nola one's a surprise because his sabermetric numbers are pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I know that I've bet him a couple times. But I bet him the five innings, and I think that one time the team blew the – oh, that was the notorious game where the Mets came back from 6 runs down. And then I think there was a game where they blew another one, but then the Phillies came back and won an extra inning. So, yeah, that one does surprise me because you look at that record against the money line, and then you look at his sabermetrics and you say, yeah, what's going on here? But I think that Nola's been pretty good so far this year, Gil.
Okay, this gets a little better when we do Q2 and Q3, because obviously the umps only have small sample sizes behind home plate. But in terms of, you know, who have been the most reliable over umpires with a minimum of four games behind home plate, Jerry Lane, 4-0, games that he has been behind home plate calling balls and strikes have gone over. Hunter Wendelstedt, 4-0 to the over. Mike McClinsky, 4-1 to the over. Chris Guccione, 4-1 to the over. Daniel Bellino, 4-1 to the over. Alfonso Marquez, 4-1 to the over. Lance Barksdale, Adam Hamari, and Chris Siegel, all 4-1 to the over. By the way, Alan Porter and John Tempain, 5-2 to the over. Anything historically consistent with any of those guys?
Yeah, we gotta look at Fonzie, Alfonso Marquez. He is the biggest over umpire based on, this is strikeout percentage, walk percentage, and ground ball rate. It's a quick ERA for each umpire over the last 5 years. And he is the number one over guy. The over tendency is Alfonso Marquez, affectionately known as Fonzie in my mind.
Okay, so that's those. So I was reading this year's stats, and Mark is looking at his historical umpire stats. So if you see, and there's sites like StatFox, if you're looking at totals for Major League Baseball games, there are sites like StatFox that will list the umpires. And either way, by the way, there's an umpire rotation during a specific series, but they'll list the home plate umpire. And so if Alfonso Marquez is behind home plate and you have an inclination for an under, maybe throw that into the mix. If you have an inclination for the over, maybe that corroborates your play. We'll look at under umpires, five inning stats, and proprietary first inning stats. Coming back with Mark Borchert, Base Winner, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The betting splits page will show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. And now it's updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Just got a tweet from somebody who said that our girl, Mayar Sharif, we were going for the sweep here, has a left foot injury. Oh, no. We were up a set, up a break. She got broken back, left foot injury. She's trying to gut this out, but we'll see what's going on. Funny thing happened on our way to a clean sheet today. We'll see if we can get it done with Sharif, but an injury, apparently. That's why the score had stopped for so long. Meanwhile, Jeff Parles, who's gone rogue with his own tennis bet on Joe Willisanga at 30-1 against Casper Ruud. Bruh, you are about to knot this up. Well, maybe not.
Well, hey, look.
I was going to say, maybe two sets apiece, but we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, Joe Willie, and this is his final tournament, correct?
This is his final tournament. This could be his final match today.
Yeah. Well,
Frenchman.
It's a heavy, heavy favorite to be his final match going into today. But, yeah, just one of those where, you know, Gil, it's great betting logic from here. And so don't follow anything what I'm saying here, guys, if you're betting this. But this is just one of those where I wanted to get to a round number in my account going into the following day.
Uh-huh.
So it was a very tiny bet that had to do with basically the amount of money plus the pocket change. And it horribly, horrible, horrible logic. But it was like, oh, Joe Willie's 38 years old. This is his last tournament. Maybe the French crowd spurs him on. Who knows?
I love that you didn't consult me, because if you had consulted me, I'd have been like, don't do it, Jeff. So I love
it. I should have just taken the plus 2.5 sets. We wouldn't have even had to sweat.
No. Well, let's see if we can get done. Come on, Mayar. Gut it out. Mark Borchert's with us. Sorry, Mark. We're betting tennis during the show today. It's the French Open.
You can't be the guy that goes like 4-1 and I can't believe we didn't sweep. Those guys, man, don't you hate those guys? I mean, come on. You went 4-1, man. Really?
Well, no, not 4-1. I mean, you know, again, just we already have a winning day because we only had two plays today. There was one from yesterday that tied over to today that won. So it's going to be a 2-1 at worst. But we're looking for the 3-0. But, you know, what a way to lose if we lose with our girl getting an injury. So we'll see after being up. That would suck. Mark, we might have to keep you another segment. I'm sorry. We're betting.
That's fine.
We're just following tennis. Sorry.
I can do it. Or don't be the guy that goes 1-0 and says, I swept the board.
Don't be that guy.
That's another pet peeve of mine.
Also, don't be the guy on Twitter who, after you win all the time, says, yeah, I've got you down as a slight loser. Don't be that guy either. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, you get those guys, too. Those are the best. Guys.
Oh, we love those guys. Whatever's rattling around in their heads must be the worst environment ever.
Wow.
All right, so let's go to the underumps. So underumps from this year, this per covers.com. And again, minimum, since it's Q1, you want to get a minimum amount of games under. But Nestor, what is it? Let me take off the glasses for this one. Is it Nestor Sela or Nestor Seja? What is that?
That's got to be a new guy.
Yeah,
I don't even have him.
Yeah, four games all have gone under. Junior Valentine, four games all have gone under. These are umpires when they're calling balls and strikes behind home plate. Quinn Walcott, four games all under in the games that he has been behind home plate. Lance Barrett, five games, five unders. Andy Fletcher, four games, four unders. How about that? Anybody historical there? And one more, Ramon De Jesus. Four games, all under. By the way, there's Shane Livensparger, five out of six to the under, and Eric Backes, Phil Cusey, Adrian Johnson, James Hoy, and Will Little, not to mention Angel Hernandez and Brian Knight. Not Brian McKnight, but Brian Knight.
I was hoping you'd get the Brian McKnight. We got to do that one every quarter. That's beautiful.
All those four out of five to the under.
So the closest guy to my top 10 would be Lance Barrett, and he's probably sitting about 13th. And I think there's about 75 umpires in this data set. So 13th out of 75. My three long-term guys, here you go. And this is pretty significant. It's almost about 10% on each guy. So Jeremy Rehak is about 9%, you know, from an under standpoint. He's going to suppress runs 9%. Doug Eddings, 8%.
Oh, yeah. Doug Eddings. Tried and true.
And then Mike Esterbrook, and he's at 7%, which is somewhat significant. I mean, if you're looking at an 8-run total and 10%, that's 0.8 runs. So yeah. I think it's definitely something you have to at least, if not objectively, subjectively incorporate into your handicap.
Yeah, and there's so many different factors you have to factor into all your baseball bets. But again, generally speaking, right, the unders will have a wider strike zone, let's say. The ums that tend to have an over long-term record will have a more narrow strike zone or a more compact strike zone. But again, we're not looking at if these games were at Coors either, so I must admit that. We're not sure which games are in which ballpark.
Yeah, I must admit, Gil,
yeah.
my umpire factors are not park-adjusted.
Yes,
so maybe
nor
that's,
are mine.
That's the next step.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Yes. And by the way, these again from covers in terms of the umpires. Let's go to five innings. Now, obviously, over time, people have become used to betting first five innings in baseball. As recently as 5-6 years ago, you couldn't find these numbers anywhere. You had to keep them yourself. Odds Shark does a great job of keeping five-inning numbers for, again, baseball teams on the first five-inning numbers. Again, this is just an exercise, bizarro exercise. If you bet them as favorites or dogs, each and every first five of their games this year. Odd Shark updated it all the way through this past Thursday. I went ahead and tracked the teams at the top and the bottom since Thursday. So through last Thursday, the Mets were the best first five team in all of baseball, plus 10.6 units to the positive. The Astros, second best, plus 6.75 units to the positive. And the Diamondbacks, number three, plus 6.4 units. The Yankees and Angels round out the fourth and fifth. By the way, a trio of NL West teams, Dodgers, Giants, and Padres, are 6, 7, 8 in terms of first fives. Since then, by the way, I went ahead and again did all the games. Some teams have played three, some teams have played four, some teams have played five since then. But they, with the exception of the Giants, who got swept by the Padres, and a lot of that happened in the first five, the Mets have been 3-1-1 first five since then. The Astros 3-2 since. The Diamondbacks 3-2 since. The Yankees 1-1-3. Still not just they lost the juice. And the Angels 2-1. The Dodgers 3-1. The Padres 3-1-1. So really those seven teams, Mets, Astros, D-backs, Yankees, Angels, Dodgers, and Padres, the best first five teams up to the moment. Any huge surprise there. I would imagine the Diamondbacks from a preseason standpoint.
Definitely the Diamondbacks, because you would think with their rotation and with the exception of Zach Gallen, who's turning out to be pretty nice, but I wouldn't have him in an elite level pitching right now. You know, Merrill Kelly, Bumgarner, Humberto Castellanos, and like Tyler Gilbert maybe, or Gilbert Tyler, depending on who how you want to pronounce the guy's name. It's Tyler Gilbert. But you think that my point is the starting pitching is not, you know, high level starting pitching, yet they have that nice five inning positive on the money line. So that is a surprise. You know, one thing about this Astros team, and I don't necessarily think I don't think their pitching is bad, but it's definitely not in my top five, my base winner top five. But this Houston team, I'm looking at my expected standings. They have saved 32 runs in 43 games. And this is the Baseball Info Solution stats. I mean, that's almost a run a game. What is it? Maybe not. 0.8 runs a game. That's incredible, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting about Houston.
Worst first five money line teams, just like the full game money lines, there are no surprises. Like the bad teams in baseball, usually when we do this, and maybe it'll change Q2 and Q3, but we usually have some kind of anomaly in there. We don't. The bad are just bad, period, no matter what time period you bet them. Tigers, minus 13 units first five. They hemorrhage you money first five, 10, 23, and 5. By the way, I'll update that with the last few days. Reds, these are the Odd Sharks numbers up through last Thursday. Tigers worst, Reds second worst, almost cost you has cost you 9.85 units, betting them blindly first five. Orioles third worst, Rockies fourth worst, Mariners fifth, Guardians sixth, Royals seventh, Nationals eighth. So it's kind of who you'd expect, maybe not the Guardians in there. And since then, that's all, you know, again, 3, 4, or 5 games since this last Thursday. Tigers 1-1-1 since, Reds 0-2-3, Orioles 0-2-3, Rockies 1-1-2, Mariners 1-2-2. So the gap is just widening, haves and have-nots. No surprises there, right, first five?
I think, well, the Mariners were in there, Gil.
Yeah,
I think
they
that's
were.
Kind of that's kind of surprising to me. I mean, their weighted runs created plus is 10% better than league average, 16 runs saved per inning, or 16 defensive runs saved per game.
Do you think that's predictive moving forward? I mean, with all of this, again, it's narrative or predictive. Narrative is one thing, but do you think that continues with the Mariners, or do you think that comes back to earth?
I think the Mariners are going to get better. I mean, you look at how unlucky they've been, and they're, I think right now, the unluckiest team by that expected standing. So, you know, their pitching hasn't been, I'm high in their bullpen though. I think that, you know, the long-term projections are really good. Their bullpen stuff numbers are good, but their xFIP minus 103, that's not the greatest, but weighted runs created plus 109 is pretty good. And then their defensive runs saved have been pretty good. So I think the Mariners are going to get better.
Okay. First five spreads, if you will. So run lines, if you will, giving up a half a run. We'll look at that. And then first inning, proprietary first inning pitcher stats. Who's been unbelievable in the first inning? Who has stunk out of the gates? Our Q1 MLB derivative show continues on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special once again is here, in case I haven't reminded you before. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months going to be filled with the best betting content in the business. Right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB Best Bets. Nice to talk to Adam this morning. JVT with his best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. And Andy McNeil, who'll join us momentarily, breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $39 United States dollars to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Winner, Maiar Sharif. We swept the board. If we bring back Christian Garin, which was suspended from yesterday, call it a 3-0 day, or call it a 2-1 yesterday and a 2-0 today, whichever way. Three nice winning days to start out the French Open. So we're all pumped about that, and I hope everybody jumped on all the picks. And again, you can ask me on Twitter. I reply individually to everybody with the picks. You can check out my timeline, all the replies that have been there for the last 3 days. So congratulations to all. I am sorry, Jeff, about Joe Willie Songa. The dream is dead in his final match.
I wish I had the option to bet the tiebreak 7-0 when it was apparent Songa was hurt.
I'm pretty sure that's not why Casper Ruud won, but yes.
No, I'm saying like once Sanga got hurt, like betting the tiebreak Ruud to win 7-0 would have been easier money, and it was.
Well, you know,
for Joe Willie to go out with a flurry in his final match. Three tiebreaks against Ruud.
Just thrilled that you went rogue and gave it a run. Los Vegas, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Los Vegas 514. Yo, my brother, stay with us. We need your fandom. Always talking about the Virginia Commanders. I know it's hard, but hopefully there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. Hey, you get rid of the head man, I'm back. How about that? Let's see. Jason Stark. Not that Jason Stark, but a different Jason Stark. He said, just wanted you to know these quarterly MLB recap shows are some of my favorite shows that you do. Thank you, Jason. Mark and I appreciate that. Spike Magruder. Nola, we were talking about Aaron Nola earlier, having such a horrible record for bettors who have backed him blindly. Phillies, what, 1-7, did I say? 1-8 with him on the hill? Nola has the largest differentiation among qualified starting pitchers between ERA and weighted on base average between first time and third time through the order. Dominant versus train wreck. Interesting. Thank you, Spike Magruder, for that. And then everybody chiming in with the tennis. Really appreciate everybody chiming in on that. Sharif guts it out for the win in a straight set situation. Again, both dogs this morning, Carolyn Garcia and Mayar Sharif, in an otherwise very kind of lame kind of card, in my opinion, from a betting perspective. So that's why we kept it to just those two. So again, hit me up and we'll do it. And this one said, Scott Reed, Gil's tennis picks better than drugs. By the way, thank you, Scott. This is Brian Ortega, who was on our show doing the Oscars here on Desk some time ago, right before the Academy Awards. He's in studio. And he was saying, he brought up the fact that Top Gun is coming out. And producer number 7, Jason Kahn, one of the great Jason Kahn stories ever, was when I told him, I said, I haven't been to a movie theater in 2 years, I told him. And Jason Kahn immediately said to me, he goes, oh, you will though now, Gil, Top Gun is coming out. And I said, I don't think that'll get me in the theater, Jason. Like, it's not that big a deal. He goes, really, Gil? It's Top Gun. I don't know why he was really emotional about it. Anyway, I hear from people who have seen it, like it actually, that for any movie that took 35 years to remake, they actually took advantage of all the technological advances in those 3.5 decades. So apparently, for those who like that kind of thing, there you go. There's my movie review. Brian Ortega says a thumbs up on that as well. You like the movie? Have you seen the movie, Brian? Not yet, but he heard the same. Okay, Mark Borcher joins us once again. Sorry about that, Mark.
I'm pumped up about Top Gun, Gil.
Are you?
I'm going to go see it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Jason Kahn, menu, man. What are you talking about? All right, so five inning spreads then. Again, these aren't five inning money lines, but we just add this to the mix. But essentially, you can also bet five innings. We never talk about this on a run line, if you will. So five inning run lines minus a half a run plus a half run. I don't ever bet these. I'm not sure if you do, Mark. Do you ever?
You know what? The run line, very rarely. I've been playing more five inning lines though in recent times.
So but, just real quick, because I want to get to the first innings. But for this is from EV Analytics. Shout out to EV Analytics. Run line to this moment, in terms, again, the blind betting situation, five-inning run lines. The most profitable team in baseball is the Houston Astros, close to 9 units up, first 5 run lines, followed by the New York Mets, over 8 units, followed by the Arizona Diamondbacks, just under 8 units on five-inning run line bets. How about that? And the absolute worst on the run line is Philadelphia Phillies.
Ooh. That's surprising. That really surprises me.
Down 12.17 units. My goodness. Oh, Detroit Tigers right behind them, 12.15 to the red. But ban, oh, ban the Phillies. That's surprising. All right, and then we get to the first innings. So this is where it gets proprietary. You won't hear this on any other show, but we've done this through the years, betting Dork, beating the book, and here on a numbers game. So this is, and here's the thing. I've bet first innings. Jason Weingarten and I have bet first innings on this show for many, many, many years, and we've never given away the secret sauce. Nor is this, by the way. Let me just preface it by saying, nor is this the secret sauce. But it is some interesting information to know about pitchers in the first inning. And so, Mark, I've decided to do a minimum of 30 plate appearances against. How about that? Is that about right for this time of year?
I think that's, it might be on the high side, but right. I would go I'd go maybe 20, but that's fine.
I went 30. So here are the okay. worst starting pitchers in first innings in terms of opponents on base average, minimum 30 plate appearances against. Any guesses as to who would be the worst?
I did my sort with the third with 20, but Bryce Wilson.
Bryce Wilson is correct. Look at you. We're looking at some of the same numbers. Bryce Wilson of the Pittsburgh Pirates, a opponent's on base average of 543 in first innings this year. Is that good? Oh my God, is that bad?
Wow.
Bryce Wilson is the worst. Brutal. Jonathan Gray, formerly of the Rockies, now with the Rangers, John Gray, is second worst. Spencer Watkins, Orioles, third worst. Boy, this is just a poo-poo platter, isn't it?
I hate to pile on Spencer Watkins, but yeah. I bet against him with the Rays on Sunday. The guy got hit by a line drive after three batters had gotten on base, and I was disappointed that they had to pull him out of the game because he got hit by a line drive.
So. Well, and Bryce Wilson just got optioned by Pittsburgh, so we don't get to pick on him anymore either. So that sucks, right? But Bryce Wilson, number one, John Gray, number two, Spencer Watkins, three, who's Daniel Lynch playing for again? He's with the Royals?
Royals.
Daniel Lynch. Jay Odorizzi of the Astros, who of course had that strange injury when he fell off the mound. He's fifth worst first innings. Aaron Civale, Guardians. Yusei Kikuchi, Blue Jays. 429 against Freddy Peralta, strangely, right? But he's got an injury now. Yu Darvish is ninth worst first inning. And Taylor Hearn rounds out the top 10 of the 10 worst first-inning pitchers. Any guesses as to who the best are? First-inning, minimum 30 plate appearances against.
I don't think Bieber's there because he doesn't have enough innings. The 30 guy, but Kyle Gibson, the best.
Third best, Kyle Gibson, of the Philadelphia Phillies, which is interesting, right? Because we just went through how bad they are, first five numbers, the Phillies. But Kyle Gibson, first inning, a 200. Actually, he's tied when it comes to on-base. So you're right. He's in a three-way tie for first. Pardon me. It's just how they're listed here. So Kyle Gibson in a three-way tie for the best first-inning pitchers, starting pitchers in all of baseball. Any guesses as to who he's tied with?
Well, I know who he's tied with because I'm looking at Manaea and Joe Ryan, who's an interesting pitcher. Yeah.
Manaea and Joe Ryan. That's right. Okay, so there you go. So we're looking at the same stuff. Does any of this, as you scan your numbers, do any of these pitchers shock you? By the way, rounding out the top 10 best, Brandon Woodruff, Walker Buehler, Bruce Zimmerman. Remember, we mentioned him earlier from the Orioles. Drew Rasmussen, Frankie Montas, Tarik Skubal of the Tigers, and Shohei, number 10.
There's one in here, and I don't think he met your threshold because he's at 29 batters faced, but Jose Quintanis at 207 OBP, right under Ryan and Justin Verlander. So I thought, tied with Justin Verlander, I thought Jose Quintana being in that list that's probably the biggest surprise of all these numbers because Jose Quintana stuff-wise is bad, long-term projections is bad, and I think all his numbers are bad so far, except maybe that first inning. So.
All right, well, that's a possible betting nugget, right? He may be overpriced, and maybe there's some fades of Quintana in the future. With all of this, and thank you, Mark, for doing this again, with all of this, full games, money lines, run lines, home away, five innings, first innings, pitchers, umpires, you're looking for the betting opportunities. The umpires is specifically great historical data from Mark. And that's the thing. How much of this is predictive? How much of it is just narrative? If you can find the predictive nature in much of this stuff, and the umpires, I think, is front and center, but there's also anomalies like the Orioles. You might be able to exploit that at home. I think it's just a great, worthwhile thing to go through every quarter. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, my pleasure, Gil. Hope we're here in 15 more years, actually.
I hope we are. Love to see you doing this in 15 more years. Hockey with Andy McNeil next. Numbers Game, Visa, and Eastern.
A Numbers Game with with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, proud sponsors of this show. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens planning a trip to Vegas. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Andy McNeil joins us now from Edmonton, Alberta, though I think he might be in Toronto. I'm not sure. Digital Gambler is where you can follow him, at Digital Gambler on Twitter. Andy McNeil, star of all Canadian television. How you doing, Andy?
Stop telling people where I'm at, Gil. I'm trying to hide as best I can.
Paparazzi. No, paparazzi's on to you, Andy.
Yeah. They're outside my house right now.
let me ask you a question. The Lightning sweep, they get it done against the Panthers after scoring multiple goals yesterday that were called back, and then finally they scored a goal that counted, get the empty netter to win it. 4-0 sweep over the Panthers, who quite frankly shouldn't have been there. The Caps should have. And so let me just ask you to make a hypothetical. I know how much you hate these questions. But if it's the Lightning and the Avalanche in the Stanley Cup Finals, we have a long way to go before then. I get it. But what would you make that number right now?
God, I don't know, and I don't even think it matters. I haven't
we lost
the Avalanche, a favorite on neutral ice as things stand now, but I mean, like, let me put it like this. Hockey to me has never been a sport where a single player can just go out there and do exactly what he wants and influence the game in a huge way consistently. But we're seeing it, like, right now with Connor McDavid, with the Oilers, doing something that I've never seen in my lifetime. Like, this is it's incredible. And then you have Vasilevskiy, and I'm not a trends guy, but I mean, at some point, it's like, come on, right? Best offensive team in 26 years, allows 3 goals on 154 shots. He's 10-0 in elimination games since 2020. 6 of them shutouts. Like, this is you know, Dominic Hasek never did this, right? Like,
I'm so happy to hear this, Andy, because, you know, like, Mark Borchardt, who was just on before you, like, super-duper analytics baseball guy. You're super into it in hockey, super-duper hockey analytics guy. And I always, every once in a while, I'll ask the both of you, like, something is so, you know, something just overcomes whatever numbers you're crunching. Right. And I just say to Mark, I go, Mark, do you ever just step aside and say, you know what, no matter what my numbers are saying, this is more important. Right. I try to have humility in all of these numbers. Just because I know you do. Right.
But the playoffs are the humbling thing in the NHL for me. I do good in the regular season. It's where I do my best work. I couldn't even tell you what my record is in the playoffs. It's probably like 1-10 or like 2-10 on moneyline best right now. Because I can tell you, like, I've just been keeping a running tally. I went into the playoffs, you know, didn't have a great regular season, up about 6 units. Now I'm down about 6 units on those plays. And it's, you know, for me, it just goes against a lot of my philosophies as a hockey handicapper. And, you know, when things get rolling in the playoffs, they just roll, it seems. And it's kind of hard to, you know, I almost have to just throw everything out, and that's really hard for me to do.
Right. That's exactly what I was getting at. So, I mean, if somebody came to you right now, as hard as this is for you, right? If somebody came to you right now and said, look, I'm going to bet the Lightning to win it all because they've done it twice before and Vasilevsky's never been better. 2, no matter how much the Flames on paper are supposed to be better than the Oilers, Connor McDavid is just that good that there's no way the Flames are going to overcome this dude in this series. Like, if they just came to you with those two comments, would you have any problem with it whatsoever? Like, if somebody said, "I'm betting the Lightning now,"
well, I'm never going to be a person of kind of certainty with any of this, but I mean, that's what it looks like right now. The Flames don't seem to have an answer for Connor McDavid. I think it's nine straight multi-point games in the playoffs right now for McDavid. Like, Gretzky didn't do that. Lemieux didn't do that. Like, it's insane. And the Flames' best players, Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Lindholm, Matthew Tkachuk, these are all guys that scored 40 goals or more in the regular season, had their best seasons of their young careers. And they've got two 5-on-5 goals between the three of them. That's the Flames' top line in three games. And, you know, Leon Draisaitl's got as many or more than that. So it's the Oilers' top players are just dragging them. Draisaitl come in to the series injured, and he's been unbelievable. His performance has been overshadowed by McDavid because McDavid's been so good. And then Jacob Markstrom hasn't been able to outplay Mike Smith. It looked like he was going to steal a game for the Flames. 19 saves in the first period. They go in tied at the first intermission, come back out, and he gets chased. You know, they take him out after the second period, which is kind of a mercy thing for him because the Flames didn't really have it. And, you know, you've got to think they're going to be better. That was probably their worst game of the season as far as a meaningful game goes. And it's just tough with McDavid as a handicapper because he's never consistently gone off like this before. We've seen it in, like, all sorts of flashes of it in the regular season, but he's built different. He's a generational player, obviously, but
yeah, it's must see TV. I want to just step in real quick. So as far as the second game tonight, then the Oilers and the Flames game four, with the Oilers up 2-1, Oilers are -120. I know before the series, you love the Flames more than anything. Are you staying as far away from this game as possible then?
No, I'm just not rushing into it. I laid the Flames at around -15. I got negative closing run value. I think it closed at a pick 'em or with the Oilers as a short favorite. Here the Oilers open up as the favorite in game four. And it's like, if you're watching the series, it's like, okay, yeah, like that kind of makes sense. I mean, the momentum typically, like in a lot of these matchups, the momentum isn't carrying over from game to game. But the Oilers, you know, they scored, the last, like, 10 goals before the Flames had scored a goal late in to make it 4-1 there. And I did take the Flames +3.5, so that was kind of a meaningful goal for me. The only bet I won that night, I think. it's tough. If you had told me before the series that the Flames would be, you know, even money roughly in game four, I would be like, okay, I'll take that bet right now. Right?
Yeah,
but
no, now
after watching, it's tough.
Makes sense.
You know, the eyes tell you one thing, the numbers tell you something else.
Before I let you go here, Andy McNeil, Hockey Night in Canada, betting analyst at Digital Gambler. Hurricanes Rangers tonight, game number four. Hurricanes up 2-1. Rangers a slight favorite here. You have a beat on this?
Not really. I mean, it's the series has become a goaltending duo. They've scored 9 goals between the two teams in 3 games, and Shesterkin looks to be kind of finding his form here, right? And if he does, then it's going to be tough for Carolina. He's got a 956 save percentage in the 3 games. He's gotten better every single game. So, it's another one of these things where, like, I think the Hurricanes should be priced around -115. I'd bite on them at plus money. The series seems a lot closer than I thought it would be.
And what about tomorrow night? Lanch, big favorites to close out the Blues. Obviously, the Blues with changes in goal. Would you lay the wood on the Avalanche, or the Blues look live to you at $2 plus 200?
I probably wouldn't. Like, lay the Avalanche, I've been kind of neutral on these games. And, you know, after, I guess, last night it was a pretty dominant performance. The Blues kind of got away from it there, you know, with all the Nazem Kadri stuff. And, and guys going after him, and you know, lots of just kind of getting away from their game, obviously. And I think they did that in the Minnesota series. There was a couple of games there where they just were stupid, and they got back to it and played hockey in the latter parts of that series. So you never know, but that's kind of where I'm at on that series.
Andy, you got to run. I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Enjoy the games tonight.
All right, you too, Gil.
Andy McNeil, everybody. Congratulations to all that rode the tennis plays. Always nice to have a clean sweep. Again, if you hit me on Twitter this evening, I'll give you whatever I have for tomorrow once I get around to that. Enjoy. From VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, the Lombardi Line is next.